Good morning.
Good morning.
And welcome to First Baptist Church. Very happy to see all of you here today on the Sunday before Christmas. Somehow it doesn't quite feel that way, does it? But at least a little bit of cold air reminds us of the season. And I'm not anxious to get back into the snow. I'm not sure if you are. But nonetheless, it is the season to come to give thanks unto God, to worship together. So welcome to our church. The announcements are printed in your bulletin, but there are a few things to point out today. One is the green insert, which acknowledges with thanksgiving the memory of those and the honor of those who have been remembered today with the beautiful flowers. Isn't it gorgeous? So we're grateful for all who have contributed and participated in that way. On Thursday, December 24th, Christmas Eve, we will be here at 7 o'clock for an evening worship service to welcome the event of the year. And so we hope that you will plan to come, that you will bring friends and family. I anticipate that it will be an informal service of lessons and carols, which means that we will read the various passages of Scripture and sing lots of carols. So if you want Christmas, I know that you search for Christmas wherever you go. If you're in the store and you hear it over the loudspeaker, you think, well, that's not the right song. That's about Santa Claus. I want the real Christmas songs. Well, guess what? This is the place to come to find Christmas. So if you're not here, you risk not finding Christmas. So please plan to be here and lift your voices and your hearts and your spirits on Christmas Eve. And I believe we'll be lighting candles and really welcoming the season. If anyone here is interested in reading one of the scripture passages, I'll have a little sheet with me during the coffee hour today, and you can see me and we'll sign up so that we can share that. And if it makes it easier, if you want to read, what we'll do is have a lectern on the floor level so that you don't have to think that you have to come way up to the upper atmosphere to read your passage. So we'll make it as easy and accessible as possible. So I'll look for you then. Are there other church announcements that need to be made at this time?
Rich.
Yes. Okay, the church bookkeeper is reminding us that the offering envelopes for the next year are available and in Judson Chapel. So look for yours when you go for your cup of coffee after the service. I do want to say a word of appreciation and thanks to the choir and to all who participated in last week's choir festival. If you weren't here, you missed something very special. But if you were here, your heart was probably lifted throughout the week as you thought about the songs and remembered the glory of that service. Believe it or not, there was over 50 people up in that choir loft. Believe it or not, the sanctuary was quite full. And it was a glorious, glorious service. So thank you to all who put that together. Let us turn our hearts to worship. The responsive call to worship is found in your bulletin. God's love has been made known to us.
God has sent Christ into the world that all people might live.
If God so loved us, we also ought to love one another.
No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God abides in us.
Let us worship God and seek to love as God has loved us. The opening hymn, 175, O Come, All Ye Faithful.
Thank you.
Let us pray together. O God, as we light our Christmas trees, as we rush for last-minute shopping and sending cards, Christmas songs are heard all around us. And when we hear them, keep us close to you, that the one whose coming we celebrate, our Jesus Christ, may be honored in all that we do, so that this season will shine forth with your love. Remind us that we are your people. Love through us. Let Christ be seen in us. For we pray in his holy name and offer our worship by praying in the manner he taught us by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Be seated. I'll invite any of the children who want to come forward, and if you don't, that's okay too. I don't want to put anyone on the spot, but I'm going to come over here, and I found something this week. You want to come? Excellent. Good morning. Hi, what's your name? Brilliant, nice to meet you. I think we've met before. It's good to see you both here. What do I have in front of me? What is this? An empty manger. And what's going to happen on Christmas Eve? Jesus will be born and the manger will be full. Well, I want to tell you a story about something that happened in this church many years ago. There was a woman by the name of Esther Allen who was in charge of much of the Sunday school, particularly the primary younger kids. And Esther made sure that in all of the Sunday school rooms over in the parish house in those days, that there was a manger scene. And in the manger scene, of course, was the creche with a little baby Jesus. Well, what happened one day, just before Christmas, is that when Esther went back to her room, the baby Jesus was missing. And then she went to the next room, and the baby Jesus was missing. And she went to the next room, and in another one, the baby Jesus was missing. And of course, Esther got very upset by this, and she went to Pastor Tews and told him what had happened, and was quite concerned. He asked me about it, because I worked here then. And I said, well, I don't know, but I'll keep my eyes open. And after coffee hour and everything got done, we all went home to our places to have lunch. I was telling the story at our lunch table. And my young daughter, Christina, who was about 2 years old, had this funny expression on her face. And then she opened her pocketbook, and there were 6 baby Jesuses in her pocketbook. I said, Christina, why did you take those? She said, well, I couldn't leave Jesus all by himself at that big empty church. I had to bring him home. What do you think of that? I think of Esther every time I see the manger scene. And I think of my young daughter, Christina, learning about the love of God in Jesus. Isn't that a funny story? And it's kind of nice. We have lots to be thankful for because the baby Jesus is going to fill the manger scene this Christmas too. Now, I would like it, Naomi, do you want to come help too? Would you guys help me with the lighting of the candles and we'll say a prayer? Good. Okay. Let's see. Can you come and join me? Move this over here. We need to light 4 candles this week and not the white one. Who would like to light the first one? And who would like to do the next one? Stand with me as we say a prayer. Let us pray together. Oh God, today we light the 4th candle. And it's offered in honor of those who came to tell the good news. Angels and shepherds and wise men. Those that said glory to God in the highest and on earth peace and goodwill for all people. And they sang with joy and their hearts were overflowing. Today we light our candles in honor of the Christ child to come, and for the blessings that are ours in Him. Bless each of these children and all of these families represented today as they celebrate the meaning of this season. For we ask it through Christ. Amen. Thank you very much. We have time now for joys and sharing of concerns and those things that we would like to put forward as we prepare our hearts for prayer. I've had a couple of requests to acknowledge some things today, and one is that Naomi, can I embarrass you? Naomi has been named to the honor roll this semester. We know how hard it is to make the way in school these days, and so congratulations to you. And also another great-grandchild of the Hickeys, Jacob, who happens to have autism, also on the honor roll in his school. And so we're very pleased and proud, and I know these are major accomplishments. We're praying today, and is it Joe that asked me to announce that Arthur Popolo, a friend of his, a man who was in his 90s, is at Mass General and has acquired a lung infection. It is not looking good, but needs our prayers today. So we do that. Include Arthur in your prayers. We also want to include 3 young people who were involved in a car accident in Saugus last night and are in intensive care. Friends of Naomi, and we need to keep them in our thoughts today, particularly. We want to continue to pray for Pastor Martha, who is continuing her recuperation, and I understand doing well, though if she gets up and does too much, she gets tired, and so she has to take some time to rest, which is why she's enjoying this time away. Are there others, please? We're asking for prayers for a friend. Diana Boyd. Asking for prayers for Diana Boyd, a friend who had a stroke on Thursday, is at Tufts and not breathing on her own at this time. Sure. So Some of us were schooled on the Revised Standard. Some of us were schooled on the King James Version. And then others were schooled on the New International. So there are different ones, and it does get confusing. Too many sometimes. I understand. Thank you for bringing that to our attention. Dottie?
So Carolyn Arnold and her husband, health issues. Carolyn Landers. Okay.
Thank you. Others? Lisa?
Yes.
Lisa's asking for prayers for those who struggle with depression at this time of year. It's obviously an important issue all through the year, but particularly at this time of year with holidays, and many of us obviously have those memories of people we loved who have passed, and other kinds of events in our lives that kind of heighten that. So thank you for acknowledging that today. So let us unite our hearts in prayer.
Loving God, this is a season filled with joy. Because you surround us with your angels of love, that we are able to live a life filled with joy. That doesn't come easily sometimes. For the struggles and the challenges of our lives don't simply go away because the calendar changes, or because an observation of a celebration or anniversary or birth occurs. No, it is by opening our hearts to your presence in our lives, to being filled with the power of your Spirit that ministers to our spirits. It is by giving thanks. It is by caring. There are so many ways that we can show the power of your love, for you first loved us that we might love others. Be with the people of this church and this community, especially in this time of year, which seems to bring such unusual pressures, anxieties, depression, grief, loss. And yet, in spite of it all, we'll hear the voice of a small babe that gives us hope and encourages us and strengthens us to look forward to a new future, to the days ahead. Today we have brought to our awareness some joys of celebration for great accomplishments. And so we celebrate with Jacob and Naomi. But we also have concerns for those with health conditions, for Arthur, Carolyn, her husband, Diana, for three young people who have been injured, and many more. Within each of our own hearts and thoughts, those come to mind who need our prayers. As people gather to celebrate, we pray that they might be safe and secure, We pray that their thoughts and minds will truly focus on the meaning of this season. And that as a result, O God, your love will be proclaimed in our homes and communities and all around us once again. We wait with anticipation. Now 4 candles are lit. Thank you for this time of waiting and preparation, that we too might become like the angels who love for others. Be present to us and hear our prayers, for we lift them up in your precious and holy name. To you, O Jesus, our Christ. Amen. With joyful hearts, let us celebrate the love of God by offering ourselves unto Him in our gifts and our offerings. Thank you.
God, in this season of giving, we offer these, our gifts, from our hearts, that they might be shared, that your love might be fulfilled and spread. Accept these gifts in the spirit in which they are. Bless each of the givers through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Testament lesson will be taken from Isaiah 53, reading from verses 1 to 6. Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, and we did as it were our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs, and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. This is the word of the Lord. And the gospel is taken from Luke's Gospel, chapter 1, reading from verses 26 to 35. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, reading from verses 1 to 7. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph, who went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. This is the reading of the Holy Gospel of Christ.
Let us pray. O Lord, make the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts acceptable in thy presence. For we ask it through Christ. Amen. So now you've heard the scripture. Joseph went from Nazareth to Bethlehem in the city of David. Mary expecting her first child. While they were there, Mary gave birth to her firstborn son,
and laid him in a manger, for there was no room for them in the inn. That's the story. You've heard it before. Does it make sense? It's the story you've heard year after year. It's so simple, but it becomes so complex. But that's why we've gathered, to celebrate an amazingly simple story. Do we overdo it just a little bit? I mean, it's just a stable with straw, a baby in a crib of hay, reminding us of a simple truth that God came to our world to love us. But do we overdo it just a little bit? I mean, think about all of the things you see around you. The lights, the activities, the parties, it's a simple story. What about peace and hope and joy for the world, wholeness for your life? It's a simple story. In the presence of that story, can we really expect and believe that it's the holy God who has arrived? It's the most difficult thing to understand. So maybe we make such a big deal out of it so we can really convince ourselves that it could be true. Some men saw a star. They followed the star. They arrived to worship him. They even brought some gifts, just in case it was true. They wanted to be prepared, I think. Something that sounds so simple can mean so much. But maybe we overdo it because we're waiting for some angels. Or we're looking for the star and we don't see it, so we have to do something with that. Martin Luther wrestled within his own self. Martin Luther, you remember, was the great reformer who really thought about these things and wrote about them and changed the world at that time. So in his work called The Christmas Book, he wrote that God puts a babe in a crib and our common sense revolts and says, God couldn't have saved the world that way. Couldn't he have done it some other way? The Christian faith, he concluded, in some ways is foolishness. It says that God can do anything, but then portrays God as a weak, helpless child. We use the word God a great deal in our daily expressions, don't we? Not always in kind ways. But questions begin to fill our minds. Who is this God? What does it mean when God brings a child and says, here I am, you can do no more? How do we experience that God? Do we experience God as an angel visiting? Or a vision? Or do we remember the all-night wrestling match in the Bible? We have this tension, don't we, between these experiences, that we have this sense of God which is far-reaching and far off, and at other times close at hand and within us, in our midst, a companion, a friend, someone like us. And so this Christmas story is this story of the wonder of God beyond our comprehension and yet as close as a baby with his mother. And somehow, this baby tells us a lot about God. You've had the experience of having little ones in your families, and you know what energy they bring, don't you? When the two-year-old is running from room to room and can't sit still, and you say, my goodness, did I ever have energy like that? There's enthusiasm. There's hopefulness. There's expectation. Something about the child coming into our life that makes us look forward instead of just back. That helps us to look beyond our own aches and pains and shortcomings and begin to experience the hope of the future. There is something about seeing the world through the eyes of God when God's eyes are the eyes of a child. Perhaps that's one reason God chose to be revealed in the form of a baby. The thrill of hope. The world, weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and a glorious morn. At Christmas, suddenly, like the babe coming into our lives, we are awakened once again to new possibilities. The potential for peace, the possibility of renewal and moving beyond the old and the tired. God said so long ago, a baby, a cradle, our Jesus, simple. Mary and Joseph went to Bethlehem and there gave birth to a son, her firstborn, and laid him in a manger. I suggest to you today there are three ways that you can respond to that story. One is the one perhaps that most of us here look at it, maybe not all. But it's that story of that view that comes from knowing the story from within. The story we've always known. A story of faith, a story we believe, really believe that somehow God in this peculiar way could come and make God's self known to us. And we believe and our faith is affirmed once again. But there's another way people experience this. And I would say that I connect with this more frequently during the week in my secular work, that I meet people from a whole lot of perspectives. And some of them are perhaps thinking and believing at this time of year, but quite frankly, there's a lot that don't. It might be an interesting matter of study, or it's a nice story, but it's not really about God. This particular perspective of the Bethlehem scene, a baby in a cradle, interesting religious concept, but don't impose it on me here. It has no claim on the human heart. That's where much of our world, I think, is. And I'm going to suggest a third perspective, which might actually touch more of us than we care to know. And that is for those of us who live between those absolute belief perspectives and the perspective that says, I don't believe at all. But rather, those who are typical live between those. I believe, but help my unbelief. It belongs to those of us who are interested, but not always quite sure. What this birth event means for our lives. For personal reasons, we might say I'm a Christian, but sometimes I wonder where is God? Something happened, someone was injured, someone died, something catastrophic occurred in the world, and we wonder, how can we believe? Where is God? When we're sort of caught in this I'm not sure. I'm half in and I'm half out. We're spiritual people who are searching. We sense what we think we know and then we wonder. We feel that we know that this is the story. It's simple. But is it profound? We stay connected and somewhat loyal, but not quite sure. We don't always feel the peace. We don't always feel the joy and hope that the season promises to bring. And so we live in this sense of longing for what our lives might be and what we want them to be. And we hope and we affirm, but we're not quite sure. until Christmas comes in faith. I tell you the story today of a friend of mine. Her name is Karen. I actually met her on some board that I was serving on years ago. She's from South Carolina, a strong African-American woman with a wonderful family. And she wrote to me and some other friends to tell her Christmas story a couple of years ago. You know, you get those emails and those letters, the ones that you look at and go, oh, it's too many words, I'm not going to read it now, I'll read it later. But this is one where I started to read it, and I couldn't put it down. She said, it's just a small white envelope stuck among the branches of our Christmas tree. No name, no identification, no inscription. But it peeked through the branches at the top. An unmarked envelope. No one knew where it came from. Well, this has been going on, she said, for the last 10 years or so. And it began because my husband, Mike, hated Christmas. Well, he didn't really hate Christmas in its true sense, she wrote. He hated Christmas with all of the trappings and the commercialism and the pressure. Overspending, the frantic running, trying to get a tie for Uncle Harry, dusting powder for Grandma, all those things that have to be done, he hated it. And so, when I couldn't think of anything else, she wrote, to get him, because he had enough sweaters and shirts and other kinds of things that he wouldn't even open anyhow. This inspiration, she said, came to me in an unusual way. Our son Kevin, who was 12 in that year, was a wrestler in the junior level at the school he attended. And shortly before Christmas, there was a non-league match that the teams sponsored with an inner-city church. And mostly the church was black youngsters. They came dressed in sneakers so ragged and shoestrings that seemed to be the only thing holding them together. In sharp contrast, she said, to the boys from our church's team that had blue and gold uniforms and looked really sharp. As the match began, she said, I was alarmed to see that the other team wrestlers had no headgear. You know what headgear is for wrestling? Those things that protect your head from being injured? Light helmet, she said, that protects the wrestler. And so we had the witness of this team that they could not afford even the basics. Well, each of the boys got involved and they got up from the mat, and quite frankly, her team, she wrote, won each of the matches. And those boys from the other team swaggered, trying to save themselves with some sense of pride. Her husband, Mike, said, I wish just one of them could have won one match. It would have helped so much. They have a lot of potential, he said. And losing like this could take the gusto, the heart, right out of it. So Mike loved these kids. He loved all kids. He knew them. He coached them. She said, that's where my idea came from. That afternoon, I went to a local sporting goods store and bought an assortment of wrestling headgear and new shoes. And I sent them to that church anonymously. On Christmas Eve, I wrote a note. I put it in the envelope, unmarked, and put it on the tree, except just said to Mike. And in it, I explained what I had done, that I had made this gift from him in honor of Christmas. She said he got the brightest smile on his face that she had ever seen in his life. And so it began a tradition. Each year,
at Christmas, instead of buying him another shirt or sweater, I followed the tradition. And so the next year, it was a group of youngsters with intellectual disabilities. We were able to give them tickets to a hockey game. Another year, it was a check to a pair of elderly brothers whose home had been burned to the ground just before Christmas. And we were able to help out. And on it went. The envelope, she wrote, became the highlight of our Christmas tree. It was always then the last thing opened on Christmas morning, and the children, ignoring their toys, would come and wait for the envelope to appear. And then we would open it. We did this for 10 years. It never lost its allure. And then she said, a couple of years ago, we lost Mike due to a cancer. And when Christmas rolled around, I was still so wrapped up in my grief, I could barely put up a tree. And Christmas Eve, I put an envelope in the tree that I had done at the last minute. But when I got up in the morning, suddenly on the tree, there were three more envelopes, not signed. And so we opened them. Unbeknownst to each other, each of our children had placed an envelope on the tree in honor of their dad. They each had done the kind of gift that they felt he would have appreciated, which was very much like the gifts I had given. And so, now the grandchildren standing around with wide eyes, ignoring their toys, and the tree is full of envelopes. Mike's spirit lives on. Like the Christmas spirit, he'll always be with us. In simplicity, the cradle of faith is to embrace God's grace. We look to that baby born of Mary in Bethlehem. We lift our prayers even for a moment. We act out of kindness or the power of God's love that the miracle of Christmas might become a new and strange happening for us. And we remember, Joseph went with Mary to Bethlehem and there gave birth to her firstborn son. She laid him in a manger. And the angels began to sing, "Glory to God in the highest." The babe is born. Let the world rejoice. Amen.
Thank you.
Let us go from this place as God's people in this world. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. And let the love of God that passes all understanding abide in your hearts and minds, now and for all of the days to come. Go in God's peace. Amen.